We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
Come on! That is the best intro ever. Come on. Give it up for your band and worship team. How good are they? It kind of actually makes me disgusting when I see Pastor Chad up here singing and then getting up and preaching. And I'm like, man, I can barely do one thing good. And he's doing multiple things. And so it is such a privilege and honor to be here. It's cold in Boston. That's all I got to say. Massachusetts is cold. Wicked, awesome cold. That's at least what somebody said there at the hotel. Rachel and I, such a privilege and honor to be here. And it's always a great opportunity when you get to meet with and be with friends and get to see this incredible city. And as I was studying and praying and just kind of preparing, this is one of those things where it's like, as a speaker, you want to do really, really well, because Boston area has kind of been... excuse me, on Rachel and my kind of like bucket list thing. And so we're like, oh man. And Rachel's like putting on the pressure. You better preach good, because I want to come back and see Martha's Vineyard. And, you know, and then I'm like, you know, sports guy. So I'm like, man, bucket list. Come on. A Red Sox game and, you know, Celtics and all that kind of stuff. And so when you're a speaker like that, you try to like, what's my best message I've ever preached? You know, so you could preach it and people will be like, amen, and you know, preach it, white boy, you know. And I'm like trying to like think of like what's the best message and all that. And if you travel, that's what you want to do. You want to kind of do one that you've kind of got under your belt, and you know the right segues and the punchlines and the little jokes and you know, the little things. And when I was praying about it, God gave me a message that I've never preached before. And as he kind of gave it to me, he kind of like shared with me that it wasn't just like a here's 4 points and a message, but it was more of a prophetic message over this congregation right now. And so I'm sorry if it's not polished and it's not cute and it doesn't have cute little sayings that rhyme or anything like that. I just felt like this message God spoke to me is for this church at this season for right now. And so even with an hour less of sleep, we're then, if you think about it, 4 hours difference. So our time, if it is almost 10 o'clock, then it would be like 6 in the morning on the West Coast with that hour change. And I just feel the unction of a prophetic word for this congregation. Is that all right? I'm setting it all up so that if it's bad, you could go, well, you know, we heard he could be better, but since it was prophetic, we'll take it. So come on, why don't you do something? Why don't you lift up your hands towards heaven? Come on, say this with me. Say, Father God, I'm ready to receive. God, I believe I'm at the right place at the right time. I say right now, I'm ready for your word in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody say amen. Come on, say amen to that. If you've got your Bibles, I want to look at one text this morning. And like I said, I want to look at this text. I believe it's a prophetic text for this church at this time. And then once we look at the text, I want to just break down some things that I believe the Spirit of God has given me to maybe highlight and call out. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 through 7, that now Elijah, who was from Tishbe in Gilead, told King Ahab, "As surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, the God I serve, there will be no dew or rain during the next few years until I give the word." Then the Lord said to Elijah, "Go to the east and hide by the Kereth Brook, near where it enters the Jordan River. Drink from the brook and eat what the ravens bring you, for I have commanded them to bring you food." So Elijah did as the Lord told him, camped beside the Kereth Brook east of the Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and meat each morning and evening, and he drank from the brook. But after a while, the brook dried up, for there was no rainfall anywhere in the land. If I was going to title my message this morning, I would title it, Treasures from Scoundrels. Come on, say to your neighbor, say, Treasures from Scoundrels. This story is a story of blessing from an unexpected source. It was from ravens. And ravens in the Old Testament were actually considered unclean. There's actually a scripture verse in the book of Proverbs that talks about that ravens would eat your eyes. They'd come and just grab and tag at you. And they were gross animals that were only interested in about themselves. In fact, people that have studied ravens have actually seen them forget about feeding their children and only get concerned about what they wanted. Yet in this story, Elijah is provided for by these ravens. Now, I've said all this, and you're like, what does the prophetic message have to do with us in Boston? We will crush the ravens every year we play them. And so there's just some things, though, from this text that was so interesting. When Rachel and I moved from North Carolina, had pastored there for 10 years, and went to L.A., and actually L.A. is a pretty significant city for us, because when I was 9 months old, my biological parents were dealing with addictions, and they abandoned me right outside of L.A. County. And so it was, in a sense... It was a full circle of coming back to where God, in a sense, rescued me. Now we are there launching a church and reaching people. And so this story is interesting, because when we moved to L.A., we still had our house in North Carolina that we had to pay the mortgage on. And then we moved to L.A., and L.A. is expensive, a lot like where you guys live in this New England area. It's like anywhere else in America, you could buy like 3 houses. Right? And you're like, why here? Why? And it's cold. Like, why? So we were just, you know, with all of that, planting the church and doing all those things, our finances, it was like ridiculous the amount, if you looked on the paper, of how much we had to pay out versus how much we knew would be coming in. And we just started receiving like just checks in the mail from people we didn't know, and insurance saying that you overpaid. You never overpay your insurance, right? I had a old 1976 Super Beetle V-Dub convertible that's perfect for surfing, and I could put my surfboard in the back. I didn't really surf well, but I wanted the look, right? This company, Chinos was a company, they sell stuff. They actually asked if they could borrow my car for a day for a photo shoot, and they paid me $1,000. I don't even know if the car was worth $1,000, and they paid it for one day to do a photo shoot. Come on. Somebody say, God can bless you in unexpected ways. Amen. And so, again, looking at this text, there was some things that just jumped out to me. And the first thing that jumped out to me that I believe is prophetic about this church is the Bible said about Elijah. He said, listen, I want you to go hide by the brook. And that word hide, and the word that I would try to declare over you, is hidden. And hidden is a lot better than just isolated. Hidden, you may feel isolated and you may feel lonely, but this was different. God was actually protecting Elijah from the enemy. And so there are times in our life where we feel we're hidden. We feel we're alone. We feel like we're isolated. We feel like God's abandoned us. But in this text, he was not abandoned. He was not left alone. He was actually purposely put there because God said, I'm going to use you in the future. And if I'm going to use you in the future to kill Jezebel and the prophets of Baal, in this season, I'm going to have to hide you. So what I felt like God was speaking to me is some of you are feeling alone. Some of you are feeling isolated. Some of you are feeling like, has God forgotten me? And what you really, really need to realize is, no, it's quite actually the opposite. God knows exactly what you're about to walk into. And because he cares for you and because he loves you, he's got to put you over here to prepare you for your future. See, you don't need to think that you're all alone and that you're lonely. You need to realize that God has placed you there strategically because your future is greater than what's happening right now. I know it's early, but there are these times where we actually feel isolated. There are times that we're like, why is this season so difficult and I can't connect with other people? And instead of, I came all the way from Los Angeles to prophesy and to declare to you that you are not alone, that you're not isolated, but actually you're just hidden because God has a special call on your life, a special cause for your life. And because of the season you're in now, you'll be prepared for what he's going to do in the future. Come on, if you believe that, say, yeah. And the enemy would love to, in the isolation, get you to second guess your call. Think about it. Here is Elijah, and he probably is wondering, am I really a prophet? Am I really called? Well, there's nobody around me. But it was in that moment that God was actually preparing him. I remember Rachel and I for many years being faithful in North Carolina and doing everything that we could in our two campuses. And there was big. There was LA. There was dreams inside of us. And it felt like there was, for a season, like, when are we going to be able to do that? But you know what? I look back now on those 10 years in North Carolina and I realize that those years were years of preparation. Those were years of healing. Those were years that God was preparing me for what was going to come ahead of us. And there was going to be some more difficulties. When we first moved to LA, Rachel's mom, while we were moving into our house, we got a call that Rachel's mom was passing away. My biological mother, who had abandoned me, died in the same city we moved into just a few months after that. We came into LA and it was difficult and it was hard, but the power of God was with us. The power of God sustained us because there had been a moment that we were hidden. Don't despise the moment that you're in right now, because God is just looking at it saying, it's all right. I know what I'm doing and I've got you right where you need to be, because I'm protecting you. I'm healing you. I'm restoring you. And I know that your future is going to be bright, but you need this moment right where you're at. Come on, somebody say hidden. The second thing that jumped out of me of the scripture that I felt like prophesying to you today is the word brook. Come on, somebody say brook. The Bible says that God told Elijah to go to this specific brook. And it is interesting. There is a famine. There is no rain. And where the brook was this brook fed into the Jordan. Anytime you see the word Jordan in the Bible, it is so many oftentimes symbolizing prophetic promise. Come on, what about the children of Israel when they crossed over the Jordan into the promised land? So many different times the Jordan represented prophetic promise. And here is what God says. I want you to hang out at the brook that actually fills the prophetic promise. Come on. God understands that not only does he want you in a specific place, but he is going to refresh you. He is going to prophetically get you what you need before everybody else gets it. Come on. He's pretty much saying you're going to be the leaders of what's going to eventually become bigger. Come on. I believe prophetically over your church, your music is going to be a brook. Come on, that's going to flow into the joy. It's going to lead the way. Is there anybody here that realizes Metro Church is going to lead the way in this area? Come on, it's a combination of many streams coming into the Jordan, but this brook actually led the way. Come on. I just, as I kept on thinking about this and knowing that I was going to come here, I just kept on thinking, God, I just thank you for this season of the brook. I just thank you where everything else is dry, there's going to be some refreshing where Elijah was, where everything else was arid, where everything else was desolate. God knew the specific spot right where Elijah needed to be so that in the middle of the day, he could be refreshed. When he began to get thirsty, he could drink. Everybody else could be dying, but Elijah, come on, he was sitting there at a spa. Come on, Elijah is getting his soul ministered to. Come on, he's being refreshed. Come on, I just believe that there is some living water about to flow out of this church. And there could be some people around dying. There could be issues in our nation. Come on, there could be spiritual famine. But there's one place called Metro Church. Come on, where God is sustaining. God is flowing. Come on, God is still refreshing somebody. Come on, if you believe that, say yes. Yeah. Come on, lift up those hands towards heaven. Say, Father God, right now, I believe you're refreshing me in Jesus' name. Come on, point to your neighbor and say, I feel so refreshed that I'm going to take you to dinner. And I'll pay. Amen. Come on, it got quiet in here. I mentioned this, but the third thing out of this text in order, it says that the ravens, and notice it says plural ravens, not a raven, not a one-time event, but ravens. And the Bible says that he commanded it. God commanded the ravens. Wow. Old Testament law says that they were unclean, yet God commands it. I love it when God gets a religion and says, no more. The things that we used to, we have to, dot the I's, cross the T's, God has a way of just messing it all up so that we don't become religious and we don't base everything on rules and regulation, but we base everything on relationship. And it says just so much. I could just stay on ravens forever. Just the plurality of it, that it wasn't just a one-time event, that it was ravens. So it wasn't just one raven, it was ravens. One raven was you know, maybe he called him Jim. The next raven came and maybe he was Bob. And then the other one, and it was She-Ra, Princess of Power. I don't know what he called the ravens, but they were all coming and they were more than one. Not only were they more than one, but they weren't supposed to even have the DNA to do that. Their DNA is to only think about themselves. But God said, hey, I don't want you to think about yourself. I want you to go take care of my main man, Elijah. And I come here to prophesy a couple things. When I think of the word ravens, I think about people that don't even know that what they're doing. People are going to come to this church and are going to say, I don't know why, but God has just told me that I'm supposed to give this, or I'm supposed to help out with this, or I'm supposed to do this. And it will be the last person you ever suspected that is ever going to be. Not only is it going to be financially, but I believe there's going to be people that are coming in this next season that are going to get saved, and you are going to blow your mind because you thought that so-and-so would come and get saved, and you thought so-and-so would come and get saved, but you had no idea that the drug dealer would get saved. You had no idea that the prostitute would get saved. You had no idea that the mayor who you felt like went to church then comes and gets saved. God is about to bring in people that you never expected. God is about to use people that you never expected. We're in LA and the people that are coming to church were like, oh my goodness, on the way to church, I got a happy birthday message from a guy in our church. And if I can't even read what he put on Instagram about me, because it had so many swear words in it, but it was like I said, I can't repeat it, but it's coming from a non-religious person, and so he's actually saying nice things about me, but I can't say the nice things in church, or you'll be like, he's never coming back. He's got a potty mouth. But what blows my mind is because he's in church. God's using him. He doesn't know not to say these things because he hasn't fully been sanctified, but he's been justified. God is going to send some people in here that you would have never thought. There's going to be some people up on this stage, and you're going to know some of their past, and you're going to know some of their history. But instead of judging, you're going to receive. Because here Elijah could have said, oh, but they're not under the law. Come on, they're unclean. But he understood that God had sent them for him. God is about to send some ridiculously weird people into your church. Just look at your neighbor and say, oh, I think he already started with you. Come on, ravens. Of anything that was going to deliver food to Elijah. Come on. How come it wasn't a priest? How come it wasn't a king's son? How come it wasn't all the other good people? He had to use a raven. And I prophesy over Metro Church, God is about to blow your mind in who he's about to use and why he's about to use them. Because God is the king of doing things that will mess with our mind to show who's really in control. And when the building starts getting packed and you're going to multiple services, and you look around to your right and you look around to your left and you go, how did they get here? You can say, God must have sent them, because God is using unique people in the year 2017. Some of you are ravens already. And what I mean by that is you've never fit in. You never felt apart. You've never felt connected. And God says, it's your season now. I'm going to use you in ways you would have never believed. Can you imagine those ravens? I bet you they had attitude afterwards. You know, like, rah! Rah! I love Pastor Chad with his knee. You know, he's got his, I was walking with him in all Boston. Nobody messed with us because he was kind of like gangster, right? Can't you just see the ravens? I just fed Elijah. God wants to use you despite your past and what other people have said about you. Even if your own nature in the past has been terrible, God has a supernatural way of overriding that, changing it, and turning you from being selfish to wanting to actually help serve what God is doing in this year. Amen. Come on, do you believe that? Say, yeah. I've just got a few more things. I just got 5 more minutes. Who will give me 5 more minutes? 5 more minutes. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40. Woo! Just go like this for 5. And I'll know that it's all right. I wrote the word. It says bread. Come on, somebody say bread. I love that every morning he got delivered bread. That's pretty amazing. Bread. Bread. Like a raven brought bread. Have you ever given bread to ducks or seagulls? They're like, wah! Can't you? I mean, how awesome would it be if you're Elijah and you wake up and there's your bagel with cream cheese? Come on. I mean, this is the will of God, right? And so bread, and all throughout the Bible, I just started thinking about this. A man shall not live by bread alone. Jesus says, teaching his disciples and us how to pray, is give us our daily bread. And then even communion. Think about the symbolism of bread, the breaking of the body. So many different things that bread meant in the Bible. And Elijah was delivered it every day. And so many times when it talks about bread, we kind of have a mindset, or the symbolism in New Testament, Old Testament theology is many times it represents our needs. That when God gives us our daily bread, it's that all of our needs are met. And I, again, flew all the way from Los Angeles, got on a plane. It took 4 hours. It just kept on going and going. I'd look at that little thing, and I'm still not there yet. And then I'm here. We fought through traffic to get up here and all that kind of stuff. I came all the way to declare to you that God sees your needs, and He is going to supply. He sees every need. He sees it. And I don't know. When we get to heaven, maybe we can watch this on Blu-ray and we can see exactly what it was. But I just have a hunch that it was probably the kind of bread Elijah liked. Right? And you know, there's crazy, like for me, if it was me, God would deliver sourdough bread, right? And I would be like, oh, God, you are awesome. Sourdough bread. Not this, because I'm in California now and everybody's so healthy. Like, the bread in California is not bread. It is like chewing grass. Like, and it's got all this stuff in it. And they're like, this is healthy. This will make you live longer. And I'm like, I don't want to live longer if I got to eat this. Come on. This is terrible. Give me the carbs, the real stuff, right? I bet you the bread given to Elijah was not gluten-free. I bet you it was the good stuff, right? The good stuff. And just that sense of that God knows what you need and God knows the desires of your heart. I just want you to know God knows exactly where you're at. Look at, think about that raven. That raven was somewhere else, went to somebody else, was cooking the bread. Somebody else made the bread. Here they are making the bread. They set it out to do whatever. And then a raven comes, gets it, hand delivers it. Come on, still nice and warm. Come on, straight to Elijah. And he's like, thank you, God. You care for me. God, thank you. You know my desires. You know my needs. Come on, how many of you are thankful that he's a God of more than enough? Come on, how many of you say he's a God more than enough? I love that. I love that. Point to your neighbor and say, the bread. Not just bread, the Bible says, but the Bible also says meat. Come on, somebody say meat. Remember that lady? Where's the meat? Come on. Remember that lady, that old lady? Was that Wendy's? Where's the meat? Yeah, I knew it was a commercial. I knew it. Where's the beef? Not the meat. I totally ruined the joke. That's why you should preach a message you've preached before. So you can say the right little joke. Oh. Next service, though, I'm going to nail it. The meat. I mean, bread and water. You can live on bread and water. You can live, literally, for a long time on bread and water. But God is so awesome. He doesn't just, and he doesn't, like, make Elijah go on a fast.
You got the brook. That's all you need, son.
Like, man, I'm going to hook you up with bread, bagels, sourdough. And I'm going to hook you up with meat. And that's a weird thing. Like, what kind of meat was it? Like I don't know. Was it steak? Was it T-bone? Was it rat? Like, I there's parts of this part. I'm like, what kind of meat? Again, and we won't know till we get to heaven. You know, hopefully Blu-ray will have it there. And we can fast forward some of the other things because Leviticus is a long book. I just want to get to Kings. And I want to get there. And I want to see the story. But meat every morning, every night. God's just awesome. And I started to think about what Paul would be writing to the church. And Paul would begin to say, hey, I would like to give you meat, but you're still on milk. And so I started thinking about this church, and I thought, you know what? There's a spiritual maturity that's going to be on this church. And it's going to be a place where people don't, it's going to be deep. And you already have that because of the legacy that's here in the house. But you're going to be known in this area as a church that is deep, that is a place where you can get meat. It is a place that you can get your spiritual growth. And when you go through your growth tracks and when you go through things, people are going to go and people are going to get it. And they're going to have meat. And meat is more than just deep theology. Meat is actually getting getting something and using it to add muscle to you. So if all you did is ate meat, you could be unhealthy. But if you had it in the right proportions and you used it the right way, it's actually the protein that will give you the strength to be able to do what you couldn't do on your own. And can I just tell you, Metro Church, come on, you're going to be eating the right diet that is going to cause you to be stronger, and it's going to cause you to be able to do more. You'll be able to serve more. You'll be able to worship more. You'll be able to do things in the kingdom of God, because it's not just bread, and it's not just desserts. Come on, there's some meat coming on in here. There's some death coming in here, and you'll be able to have what you need for the future. Come on, somebody say, where's the beef? Come on. Finally got it right. Come on, lift up those hands towards heaven. Come on, lift up those hands towards heaven. Say this with me. Say, Holy Spirit, I need more of you. Right now, I've settled, but I want to be hungry for more of you. Fill me in a greater capacity. Your Spirit, your Word, in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody say, amen. I know what's happening. You woke up late this morning, and I've been talking about bread. I've been talking about meat. You're like, when is the service going to over? I'm so hungry. I could eat from a raven right now. I'm so hungry. Come on, point to your neighbor and say, this is good. Come on, point to your other neighbor and say, this is definitely for you. Come on. Just a couple more. Is this all right? Then I want to pray for some people. It was funny that the Bible said morning and evening. It was consistent. Elijah never had to wonder what was going to happen next, because he got like just a routine. And I feel like, Pastor Chad, I felt like, and I don't know who this is, I want to pray for you right now. I don't even need the keyboards. I just want you to, right now, in a second, I want to pray with you. I felt like God spoke to me that there are some people that are involved with sales. Maybe it's real estate. Maybe it's something else. And it's like your paycheck, it's like sometimes it's really good, and then sometimes there's these seasons that it's really bad. And I just felt like God told me to tell you that God's about to bring consistency to it. And it's going to be like, you're just going to be floored that people and things are just going to start coming. And it's going to be like you can plan. See, Elijah could plan. He could plan his day around the consistency of what God was about to do. When you're in faith the whole time, and there's nothing wrong with faith, but when you don't know what's about to happen, it's hard to plan, because you're just, okay, God, are you going to bring the food? Are you going to bring? I don't know. Oh, God, I hope he does. And you start stressing. But after a couple days, can't you see Elijah? He knew, well, I'm going to go on a walk right now because I can, because I know when the ravens come. Come on. Well, yep, I can catch up on my fantasy football, see what Bill Belichick has done. I can do that now and see that once again, he's ruling the league. I can tell that all because I know that ravens aren't coming till evening. Come on. I can go do this and I can go do that because I know the consistency of what God is about to do. And I felt prophetically that there are some of you that are living from paycheck to paycheck, and there are some of you that are worried and filled with fear, and God is about to change it so that you know exactly what he's going to do and when he's going to do it, and it's going to revolutionize your faith, your relationships, and your stress level. If that's you right now, I want you to just stand to your feet. If that's you, you say, I need God's consistency in my life. Right now, it just feels like it's crazy. Would you just stand? I just want to pray with you. Yes. Anybody else? Come on. I just want to pray. Everybody else, stretch forth your hands. Come on, stretch forth your hands towards them. Father God, we just thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your consistency. God, if you could feed Elijah in the morning and you can feed him at the evening, God, we just thank you that you are constant, that you are consistent. And we just declare right now in the name of Jesus, your faithfulness, I declare right now in the name of Jesus, sales leads, and I declare right now contracts that will be consistent in the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, if you believe that, say amen. Last one, and I'll close with this. This is an incredible story. And the story says that Elijah is fed by the ravens. And then all of a sudden, the brook is dried. And Elijah then moves. And of all the different points, Pastor Chad, I feel like God is going to give you wisdom on timing. Wisdom on timing. And if Elijah would have stayed, like, so check it out. This is a cool miracle. This is a cool thing. And what happens in churches global around the world, what has happened to the church, if you look back historically over hundreds and thousands of years, is God does something that is miraculous, that is awesome. But then we never want to leave that because we feel like that's the only miracle and the only thing that he's ever going to do. And we miss out on the next miracle. The next story is another miracle in Elijah's life. After that story is another miracle in Elijah's life. The next one, he goes to the widow. Come on. And the widow has a miracle. After the widow, he goes and asks God for fire to come down on the altar. And then after that, he outruns Ahab to Jezreel on a chariot. There is miracle after miracle after miracle. But what we sometimes do is we get stuck in that miracle, or we get stuck with that song, or we get stuck with that method, or we get stuck with that way that we've always done it, and we just want that. But all of a sudden, God says, hey, come on, this is a miracle, but I'm not done with you. Your best is still ahead of you. And we celebrate the miracle that you did, but I want you to know I've got something ahead of you that is completely different and completely new. And I'm here, I believe, Pastor Chad, just to tell you, you're going to have an impeccable amount of timing. When the right time to shift this is. When the right time to do this different. When the right time to change that. And just the little things that you've already begun to do has everything to do with the wisdom of God knowing the right time. And can I tell you, the Bible always says, what's above comes down. So it comes from the head and it goes and it flows down. If it's on this house, it's going to be on your house. God is going to give you impeccable timing of knowing. Nope, my kid is not going to that school because at this age, man, they're going to get caught up with the wrong person. So I'm going to shift it because God's going to tell you timing. God's going to help you in your relationships. God's going to help you in your marriage. God's going to help you in your finances. You'll be saying, you know what? We're not going to invest in this anymore. We're going to invest in this. And people will go, how did you know? The Holy Spirit will speak to you about timing so that you don't get in a rut, that you don't get in this whole routine of that you're able to flow with the Word of God. Does that make sense? So I just want to prophesy over you individually and corporately that God is about to bless you in ways you would have never thought. Miracles from scoundrels. Blessings from ravens. Things that you never thought would have happened are about to happen in the name of Jesus. He sees where you are and he sees your future. And he has strategically placed every element in it for a reason. Everything that Elijah went through was to prepare him for the greatest revival. The prophets of Baal were destroyed. The altar of Baal was destroyed. Idolatry was destroyed. Later on, he lays hands on Jehu. He lays hands on Hazael. He lays hands on Elisha. And so it's just this miraculous proportion future, in a sense, domino effect, all because of what happened in that moment. And I just believe if we get keys, I just believe what God is doing now is a domino effect of what he's about to do in the future. Is that all right? Is that all right this morning? Hey, two things I want to pray for.
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church. For more information about Metro Church, please visit our website at www.metro-church.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter.